It's time for the Dr. Linda Mental Show.
Well, hi, everyone, and welcome to the Dr. Linda Mental Show. I'm your host, Dr. Linda Mental, the Relationship Doctor, and I'm here along with my co-host, Chris Weigel, where every weekend we're here and we're doing life together, and we're always so glad that you've joined us.
That's right. Happy weekend, Dr. Linda.
It's nice in the summer, isn't it?
It really is nice. We tend to be a little more active during the summer. We don't sit around nearly as much because we can get outside. Longer days after work, spend more time in the evening outside, and the kids are out of school and they can play outdoors.
Well, you know, that's really true, but even so, a lot of us, myself included, because of our jobs, tend to be too sedentary. We sit all day at a desk. I know that there are a lot of kids, they're on a lot of screens and they're in the house, especially on those really hot days when they don't want to go out and do anything. The physical activity is still an issue for a lot of Americans, even in the summertime.
So listen up, couch potatoes. This program is for you and me too as well. We want to challenge you today and your family to increase activity and exercise. And this idea comes from one of your blogs, Dr. Mental. Is sitting the new smoking? Interesting question. What prompted that idea?
For the past 2 years, I've been at a different job, so I've been sitting at my desk more than I ever used to sit. Here's what happened. I noticed that my eating habits haven't really changed much.
Right.
I'm not eating more than I used to, but since I started this job, I've gained 10 pounds.
Oh, wow.
And I had to look at it and thought, what has changed? And the biggest change has been my activity level. I sit most of the day, so I started looking into this, and I started looking at some of the research, and I was really surprised to find out how sitting is so bad for our health that there was a line in some article I read that said, is it the new smoking? And that gave me the idea to write this.
Wow.
You sit all day at your job as well?
Yes.
Yeah, I mean,
same
you're in
place.
Radio. What do you do in radio? You have to sit down in radio, right?
Now, there is the technical aspect to what I do. So some days are up all day long.
Because you're working on things?
Right, yeah.
Okay.
But generally speaking, yeah, you just sit at a desk and make sure things work.
Yeah, and I don't think we're alone. Mm-hmm. A lot of people who are listening to us now have jobs where they sit quite a bit. Listen to this. According to the World Health Organization, too much sitting is linked to heart disease, to diabetes, and even early death. Early death. Sitting or physical inactivity is fourth on the list of risk factors for death in the world. I don't know about you, but death is a pretty good motivator for me.
Yeah, I would think so. If the facts back up the fact that it kills you,
yeah,
probably should do something about it.
I mean, that was really striking to me, that it's a risk factor for early death. It's one of the reasons we're talking about it today. The Cornell University ergonomics website. Yes, there is such a thing. And ergonomics are all those things about teaching us how to sit properly and all that kind of thing. But they give us a little bit more science on why this could be killing us. Here's what they say. Sitting for more than 1 hour induces biochemical changes in an enzyme in our body that is involved in fat metabolism. What happens is it changes glucose metabolism and leads to the deposit of fat in adipose tissue or fat tissues, rather than those enzymes being used for muscle. Extensive sitting relates to heart disease because of that. People are advocating that you stand up more and that you move more at work because that uses more muscle activity and burns about 20% more calories.
But you're really talking about people who are already in bad shape, right?
No, I'm not talking about people in bad shape. Oh. So this is the interesting part of this, is that it doesn't matter if you're sitting too much and you're not moving, it's going to affect you negatively in both fit people and those who regularly work out. And this is kind of what the surprise was to me, that regular exercise doesn't necessarily address this problem.
Right.
So you can't just sit all day and then go, okay, I'm going to exercise at night, and then you're going to feel like you've taken care of it. We're going to look at this and look why this is related to all these problems. I mean, kidney disease, coronary heart disease, we're talking about a lot of really important things. I do have to say, when you look at these studies, it's not clear as to whether the sitting causes these health problems or whether people have these health problems and then sitting makes it worse. That's because this data is what we call correlational data, which just means that there's an association between these things. There's an association with a lot of sitting in a lot of these risk factors and a lot of these problems. My excuse for sitting too much and not moving usually has to do with how busy I am.
Oh, me too.
I'm right. Like, I can't get up. I have to keep working on this task. I have to keep going.
Exactly. And then you get home after sitting all day, and you're tired.
Yeah, so you just lie down, right? You don't even do anything else.
Right.
So what we've got here is a lot of issues involved in this. Think about the eating situation. I mentioned that I'm eating the same, and I was still gaining weight.
That seems to be the trend.
Yeah, it does.
Because people say they eat less. You hear a lot more programs for eating right, but it's not making us any thinner.
This is what happened to me. I was thinking, okay, I'm not eating so many calories. I'm still gaining weight. There has to be something in this.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it has to do with that these aren't exactly food problems. These are movement problems. Got to give a big shout out to Michelle Obama that she had that whole campaign of let's get up and move. I wrote this book for Raising Healthy Kids, name of the book, and there was a whole chapter on let's get up and move. And she really brought that to the forefront in America of trying to get kids interested in movement. For that, I'm really grateful. I like to say something positive when there's something positive to say. We do have to get up and move more, not to lose weight. Exercise really doesn't impact weight loss that much. But we exercise because it's healthy, and it's a better thing to do. We're dealing with what is happening to our body, the chemical activity that happens when we sit too long. It's a movement problem, not necessarily an exercise problem.
Right. I would guess the key then is to find something that works for you, then make the time to do it. We know we're going to eat three times a day, so make exercise a part of that.
And that is going to be really key when we're talking about this. I have to find time to exercise.
Right.
I'm always going, like, when can I get to the gym? When can I go outside? It's really hot in the summer. I don't really want to walk in the middle of the day. That doesn't seem to work for me too well. But I'm trying to think, how can I move more? Can I walk around? Can I walk around my office? Can I walk around the building of where I am? Or can I take the stairs somewhere else? This is the key. As you're listening to this, we're really just talking about natural, normal movement during the day. Let's go back to that Cornell study for just a minute. Sitting uses less energy than standing. That's one of the problems right there. You sit, you're not using as much energy.
Right.
Obviously, when we sit, it stabilizes our body so we can do things. It's hard to do some certain things when you're standing versus when you're sitting. When we're driving a car, we obviously can't stand. Hopefully not yet. I think the Flintstones stood when they drove their car.
They powered the car with their legs.
They powered it with their feet.
And Fred and Barney were still heavy.
So they're making our point, right? But they were moving, so they should have been good.
Right.
Computer work, you kind of have to sit down. If you're doing some kind of job where it requires you to sit, I'm thinking of artists. For a lot of years, what is happening in this Cornell study and these recommendations that they're giving us, they're saying break up your sitting. Break it up by periodically standing and moving during the day. Here's what they recommend. 1 to 2 minutes every 20 to 30 minutes. I actually have tried this as I was getting ready for the show. I set a timer on my phone.
Right.
At the end of 30 minutes, I stood up and I tried to stand for 1 to 2 minutes. That doesn't sound like a big deal, but I found myself standing there going, okay, I'm standing in my office. So then I tried to stand and use my computer and try to do something. The whole idea is that you're supposed to have these, what they call micro breaks. And if you have a micro break where you take that 1 to 2 minutes every 20 to 30 minutes, they're saying it'll improve your comfort level. It'll improve your work performance, according to the study. And it reduces the risk of musculoskeletal injuries.
Hmm.
Do you think you could do that?
Definitely.
Do you ever do that?
Well, out of necessity, usually.
Are you not thinking about it intentionally, though?
No.
Like, I have to get up now and move.
Right.
I'm trying to do that more and more. Stick with us. We're going to go in the second segment. We're going to talk a lot about practical ways you can do this. And it's like you said, Chris, it's kind of like making it like a meal. You just have to kind of schedule it into your day and take these micro breaks.
Mm. Well, this is a very challenging program today. Sitting is the new smoking. But we have our marching orders, and in the words of James Brown, get up off that thing, your desk, and move. More on that right after this.
Are you a mom or a dad trying to do your best to raise a healthy weight child in an unhealthy eating culture? Do you often struggle with how to respond when your child asks if she is fat or if he needs to lose weight? Do you wonder what is normal and how do I best impact my child and his or her eating habits? Well, hi, I'm Dr. Linda Mental, and my book, Raising Healthy Kids in an Unhealthy World, teaches parents how to raise healthy kids in an overscheduled, fast food, video game world by making simple choices, easy changes, and instilling good habits that will improve everyone's life today and forever. Winner of the Mom's Choice Award, Raising Healthy Kids in an Unhealthy World, will give you this confidence, the confidence you need to take charge of your child's eating and raise a healthy weight child.
Raising Healthy Kids in an Unhealthy World. Available on Dr. Linda's website, drlindamental.com, and available online where books are sold.
Did you know you have a conflict style? Everybody does. Are you a conflict avoider? Maybe you don't avoid, but instead react intensely. Or perhaps you are a great negotiator. Dr. Linda Mental offers a free conflict quiz when you visit her website, www.drlindahelps.com. Click on the picture of her latest book, We Need to Talk. Then have a friend or your partner take the quiz too, and see if you can navigate conflict successfully.
To take the conflict style quiz, click on the cover of Dr. Linda's latest book at drlindahelps.com.
Hi, I'm Chris Weigel, co-host of the Dr. Linda Mental Show. And if you want to share a thought with Dr. Linda, just tweet at Dr. Linda Mental. Welcome back to the Dr. Linda Mental Show, where we have been walking around the studio for the past 2 minutes. And Dr. Linda, we need to talk about making me try out all of your tips.
Did you like that little try to run around the studio I just did?
No one got hurt?
No one got hurt.
We're good to go. Yeah.
Hey, we're trying. We're trying to do this.
That's right. Today's topic is related to a blog Dr. Linda wrote. It's sitting is the new smoking, and we're saying, yes, it is. Mm-hmm. Is sitting the new smoking? Indeed, that would seem to be the case. Curious, is there a gender difference when it comes to sitting? We've already established that I sit too many hours a week, and so do you.
Yeah, there is. I'm disappointed in the results. It seems like in a lot of these gender differences with health, women always seem to do worse.
Right.
So what is that? Women do fare worse when it comes to spending all day in the chair. According to a study by the American Cancer Institute, women who sat for more than 6 hours a day, and I do that, I have to say, I have had days where I've sat for 6 hours a day, were more likely to die than women who sat for 3 hours or less a day. I saw that statistic, and that was one of the things that got me up and started to move. Here's what happens to me. I get in the zone.
Right.
I'm like on a project, and I'm in the zone, and I just don't even pay attention to the time. If you have a job like I do that could get you sitting for a long period of time, we need you to figure this out. I mean, we're doing this program because this is a challenge to us. Here's the guideline that we found in the Cornell study. He recommends that we get up and move. If you're sitting for 20 to 30 minutes, he says he wants us to stand for 8 minutes. The last guideline we gave was 1 to 2 minutes every 20 minutes. I tried this. I was timing myself for 8 minutes. I had a hard time being up for 8 minutes. I felt like I was wasting time.
Right. It would be hard to get anything finished.
Could you do that in radio? Could you stand up for 8 minutes?
We do. We just go stand around and talk, you know.
Yeah.
Sure. It can be done. Yeah. Where we are, the office space is so dynamic.
Yeah.
There's so many ideas floating around, this type of thing. Everyone is always up and about talking to each other.
Okay.
So do I sit at the desk for 6 hours? No, I don't think anyone in the building does.
Yeah.
I would think it would be doable, but I can also see how there are some jobs where once you sit down, stay there.
You're just working. I was in a three-hour meeting the other day, so I was thinking, I'm going to try this recommendation. It felt a little disruptive. I thought, my colleagues are going to think I lost my mind if I start getting up every 20 minutes and start stretching and doing what these recommendations say. I thought, you're in a three-hour meeting with a hospital staff. You're probably not going to get up and start moving around. When I'm sitting at my computer, the thing that it did to me, it kind of ruined my train of thought. I was on a creative roll, and then my little timer go off on my phone. I was like, oh, okay, time to get up. And I sort of lost where I was, and I felt like it took me more time to get back into it.
The history of this country has changed, where early in this previous century, we were a lot more active. Our jobs required us to be more active. Now we can complete everything in front of a computer. Trying to integrate the two, it would be tough.
Here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to go with the spirit of the research.
Okay.
So as much as I can, I'm going to make a point just to get up and move and stand for some minutes and walk around the building. I do take the stairs. I don't ever take the elevator at work. I park far away so I can walk from the parking lot. So the key is just movement. Sit, then stand. Sit, then stand. And if you just have that as your remembering, sit, stand, too much sitting isn't good for us. We're going to have to take these micro breaks and try to do this. Remember that researchers found that regular exercise doesn't mitigate the effects of all our sitting. Sitting too much and then saying, I'll go home and exercise, that's not what we're talking about. We're doing the Taylor Swift thing, shake it up, shake it up.
Right.
Got to shake it up here a little bit. So we got to shake it up, get up, sit, stand, sit, mm-hmm. stand.
Well, in addition to shaking it up, we need more ideas to help with the application of how to move. And you have a bunch of these ideas.
We do. You and I are going to go through a list. Well, we've got about 10 of these that we can do that will help people. Here's one. Stand when you can. Stand during a meeting if you can. I have done that. The people have said, what are you doing? I just feel like standing up because I've been sitting all day. And a lot of times I don't get any pushback from
right.
that. Stand while you're on the phone.
Mm-hmm.
I already mentioned taking the stairs. Do anything that you can to stand any point of the day.
This is one that I've seen in practice. It's putting your computer on a higher desk that requires you to stand up. A standing desk. It makes perfect sense.
I tried that. I didn't have something deep enough so that my cords wouldn't reach, and I was having all kinds of issues with that. But there are those ones that you can buy to do that. Another one is if your company can get a treadmill, put one in a break room mm-hmm. and then go and just do it really slowly or go on the treadmill for 10 minutes. We actually have one in our library at the medical school,
mm-hmm.
and one of the physiologists has one in his office.
Wow.
I have trouble on the treadmill and reading. It's too bouncy for
right,
me,
yeah.
even when I'm going slow. But a lot of people use it, and it works great.
And a treadmill at work in the break room
yeah.
is not a good idea because it's probably right next to the refrigerator. And that's where the snacks are.
Yeah.
So. You could consider this. Take an exercise class. Although exercising a few times a week doesn't seem to undo.
Yeah, it's still good for you. So the whole idea is movement. And if
right.
you're moving at night, that's still going to help you. You can walk around your office space a few times a day. We're in these what we call pods
mm-hmm.
at work, and I try to go around the pod when I've been sitting. I've been really intentional about doing that, and I think it's working.
You could also work through lunch. Makes sense. Don't go sit down during lunch and leave early to go for a workout if your boss lets you.
You could have meetings while walking. I did try this with a colleague. I said, mm-hmm. let's walk and talk. People thought it was a little weird when we did it at first, but one of the people that did it with me thought it worked.
Conducting a PowerPoint walking down the street is tough.
Yeah. If you've got that kind of meeting where you
right.
can walk and talk and then go back to the office, that could be a really good thing.
You can also set a timer to make yourself get up and walk around, just like you mentioned
yeah.
earlier. And you might want to get a fitness tracker like a Fitbit so you can count your steps, get those 10,000 steps in a day, or buy a pedometer and track your steps like that as well.
Yeah, I got one of those for my husband's birthday. I got him one of those trackers, and he looks to see if he made his 10,000 steps.
How close does he come a day?
He's almost always over.
Really?
I need to get one of those. So, Norm, if you're listening, my next present, that could be a good one because
right.
I think that would work.
Now, you've got a mini trampoline. It's called a bounder.
It's called a rebounder.
Rebounder.
It's a rebounder. Here's one of my ideas. I thought this would be a great way to move while watching television. Got this rebounder, and I put it in front of the TV at night, and it's fun. You're just kind of bouncing while you're watching the TV. I know. Problem is there's a balance issue sometimes, so I put it near a back of a couch, so in case I get off balance, I'm not going to fall.
Right.
But I tried it. It was an idea. Yeah. I think better would be one of those stand-up desks.
Seems like it would be annoying to the person in the room watching TV.
Well, it doesn't make noise.
Couch.
If I'm huffing and puffing, it makes noise.
Right.
But I'm not that intense when I'm doing it. It was kind of fun, but it's not that great.
The one last thing that you mentioned earlier was stand in the back of the room during a meeting.
Mm-hmm.
And you've tried that.
It's a little awkward unless you tell people what you're doing. They'll go, have a seat. And I'll go, no, I really want to stand. It's kind of a health thing.
Right.
And then people were kind of like, okay. Do you think any of these are something that you would do?
Well, moving around, even if you don't keep yourself on the timer at
mm-hmm.
the office, just make a conscious effort. Don't call the person in the next office.
Right.
Walk down there and talk to them and see how that goes. I think you can implement this in a lot of different ways.
And so maybe mm-hmm. that's the key, is making it very intentional.
Right.
Those micro breaks, thinking I've got to sit, stand, and do that regularly.
Well, on that note, we will take another break. And you know what that means. Two more minutes for Dr. Linda to get up and run around in the studio. We'll be right back. Hey folks, Chris Weigel here to let you know Dr. Linda's on Instagram. Follow her at Dr. Linda Mental.
This is the Mental Health Minute. Here's Dr. Linda.
Everyone worries, don't they? Well, just listen to the nightly news or read the economic forecast or even talk to your family. Hi, I'm Dr. Linda Mental. Opportunities to worry present themselves many times during our day. So why would God tell us not to worry when it almost seems like it's impossible? First, he knows the physical damage worry does to our bodies. Second, he wants to calm us down by taking the burden of control away from us. Hey, we don't have control, no matter how much we think we do. He does. And third, he wants us to trust him. The root of worry is doubting God. Doubt is not trusting that God is who he says he is, or he will do what he says he will do. So every day, take your worries to God. Rehearse his goodness, accept his grace, and walk in the confidence that he is in control and he's working all things for your good.
You're listening to the Dr. Linda Mental Show, and today we're talking about sitting being the new smoking. It's about our need to get up and move during the day in order to improve our health. We've given our listeners lots of tips, Dr. Linda, and we know that not doing this could negatively impact our health. Why do we struggle so much when it comes to taking care of ourselves?
That is really a great question because self-care for so many people is what we're talking about. This is being intentional about taking care of yourself. And for so many people, this takes a back seat. You just forget about what your needs are. Or we talked about at the very beginning of the show that we just get so busy that we don't take the time. If we don't take the time, what happens is we pay a price later, and that's why we're talking about this today.
It has been the theme for the entire program. The main offender seems to be our busyness.
I think so. Part of the whole issue here is that we need to slow down or become more intentional about what we're doing. If you're someone who's listening to this and you're constantly on the run, something in your schedule needs to change. Rushing does take a toll on your physical body. You need a few moments of rest and a little bit of downtime. It sounds funny. Moving is part of that slowing down, but it really is.
Seems like back when I made more of an intentional effort to go running, and you can just zone out. You're burning calories and at the same time letting your mind go, oh, okay.
Yeah, taking a break a little bit, sort of a mental break with all of this. Moving is positive. It does relieve stress for us when we take movement. Sometimes 2 minutes away from a troubling email that you might have gotten or a problematic issue in the office can just help your emotions calm down a little bit. And sometimes even good solutions start to go into your brain when you step away for just a short break. Kind of a little bit of a recharge for most of us, a little bit of a reboot. I know it does sometimes break the concentration, but we can get back to it. Maybe we need a little bit more of a refresher.
Why is it so hard to do this when we know it's what we should do, but we don't?
That question makes me think of Romans 7:19, which says, I want to do what is good, but I don't. I don't want to do what is wrong, but I do it anyway. Sounds like the human condition, doesn't it?
Yeah, he knew me.
Yeah. Here's what we have to do. We have to value our physical health, and we need to pay attention to it. And we need to see moving and exercising as good. And then what happens is most of us probably have to focus on making some change. Change is not an easy process for most of us, and it involves certain stages. If we understand that there are stages to change, that helps us start to get in the mode of change. Here's what happens. In order for people to change, you go from not thinking about it at all. There are a whole bunch of you probably listening to this and going, I never thought about movement. I never thought about sitting at my desk as a problem. That's part of the first step, is that we're starting to move away from that not thinking about it. And now we're starting to think, oh, she's talking about some pros and cons. If I don't get up and move, there could be some serious health issues. But I'm too busy, so I really don't have time for this. The changes of stage, you move from not thinking about it to the pros and cons. And then you start to think, well, can I make some small changes?
That's where it breaks down for me, because I'll see the need and then jump in immediately and go full bore.
Yeah.
And didn't incrementally make it a part of my life.
And then you feel like you fail.
Right. Yeah.
And then you give up on it, which is what happens to a lot of people when they make New Year's resolutions.
Right.
That's what made me think of that. But if you start with small changes and then you say, I can do this one thing. From this program, you could say every 30 minutes, I'm going to get up and stand for 2 minutes or maybe 1 minute. Start very small. And then what happens as you start to incorporate these small changes, you start doing them more and more. That's how habits form. And then you're suddenly in the middle of that. Now, you have relapses. We all have relapses. We get busy. We have a season where we don't do it. But if you come right back to it and you keep practicing this, it'll end up being something that will be incorporated into your life. Any small change leads to a big change if you stick with it. That's the basis of habit. The key is to move beyond intentions and keep plugging away at your goal and stay very active.
So as Christians, we should be concerned about our physical health. And it's not wrong for us to take care of ourselves. It's actually honoring God and improving our witness to others.
That's exactly right. We're not too obsessed on our bodies. We've had shows where we've talked about the obsession, the body obsession in our culture, where fitness becomes almost an idol. But we're also not to neglect our bodies. Basic self-care is really important, and the scripture that people might be thinking of is that scripture that says the body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. Our body is a wonderful gift from God, even though we don't always think that about our bodies. It is capable of miraculous feats, and if we properly take care of it, we are going to be at the best shape we can, Chris, to do all that God is calling us to do. We need to take care of that body and keep it as healthy as possible. You're listening to this and thinking, well, it's too late for me. Push that thought away. Change is always possible if you take a few steps and you begin. Here's what 1 Timothy 4:8 says. For physical training is of some value, but godliness has value for all things, holding promise for both the present life and the life to come. Notice in that verse that it doesn't say don't exercise, don't get up and move. It says that physical training is of some value. Rather than just ignoring it, but it does prioritize our life in that godliness is of greater value. So it's giving us the priorities in our life. Here's a little story that you may or may not know. I found this on the internet. Spurgeon died at the age of 61, and he was considerably overweight when he died. When he knew that his time was near an end, he regretted not taking care of himself over the years. He knew that if he had done more in terms of self-care, he may have had more years to serve the Lord. Isn't that an interesting comment at the end of your life? This no time is not something we're going to sit on. You need to pay attention to your physical health. That's kind of the takeaway from today's show. We're body, we're soul, and we're spirit. One impacts the other. If it is our desire, and it's certainly our desire, to be used of God for His purposes here on earth, we can pay attention to our physical care, doing the things that positively impact our health. So get out there and move. That's our message to you today. Take care of that body that God gave you so you can devote more energy to the spiritual goals that God has for you as well. Well, that's all the time we have today. Many thanks to our producer, Pam Miller, our engineer, Caleb Carpenter, and our post-producer, Chris Underation, and you, of course, Chris Weigel, my co-host, who makes this show a conversation. From all of us here at Faith Radio, we'll talk to you next weekend. In the meantime, remember, we're here, we're doing life together, and it's better when you don't have to do it alone.
The Dr. Linda Mental Show is a production of WQLU-FM 90.9 in Lynchburg, Virginia.